Hi, my name is John Kim. I'm a therapist who went through his own rebirth many years ago, and I've been documenting my journey ever since, sharing my life lessons and revelations. I believe in casual over clinical, with you instead of at you. I come unrehearsed on purpose because self-help doesn't have to be so complicated. Okay, on today's episode, we are going to jump right in. No classic John Kim bird walking here. The sun's setting. I'm exhausted. I shouldn't say I'm exhausted because I don't want to, you know, when people hang out with you and they're like, oh, I'm tired. You're like, well, so what kind of experience am I going to have with you? If that's, you know what I'm saying? I'm not exhausted. It's the end of the day. And I really want to talk about this. And so I'm grounded. Okay. How to love on a deeper level. And the other reason why we need to get right to it is because there's a lot to talk about. When I talk about deeper level love, I'm talking about not just how we feel. I'm talking about, you know, what's underneath the love and how is the love also greater, right? So it's not just healthy love or how something makes you feel. Sometimes deeper love means to look at what's coming up, and that's difficult. That's uncomfortable, you know? I don't know how love can deepen without that piece. You know what I'm saying? If you can't look at what's activating you and really look at it and sit with it and get curious about where that comes from, what hasn't been healed, how you can show up differently, all these, you know, things, that's what deepens love. It's not just like eye contact and being with someone for a certain amount of time. Deep, true intimacy is crucial in building a lasting relationship because it forms a foundation of trust, vulnerability, and connection between two individuals. When we allow ourselves to be truly seen, which for many, because of how they were raised in childhood and trauma, or being abandoned, or spaces that weren't safe to them, that's very difficult, right? But you got to truly be seen and known by your partner. That's how love deepens, right? We create a safe space where both emotional and physical intimacy can flourish. I'm going to add one more. Even though I wrote this, I forgot to say spiritual intimacy as well. Okay, intimacy encompasses various dimensions beyond physical attraction. So these dimensions include, and you know, there may be more, this is just my opinion, emotional intimacy, and I'm going to go through these, spiritual intimacy, mental intimacy, passionate or, you know, physical intimacy. You know, I would say passionate intimacy is one, and then physical intimacy would be another one, right? Let's separate those. Energy intimacy. Have you heard that before? Well, let's get into it. Okay. First one, emotional intimacy. This dimension involves creating a safe space for emotional vulnerability, right? Where both individuals feel heard, understood, and validated. It involves deepening the connection by sharing and emphasizing with each other's feelings, fears, and dreams. This is the whole doing life with each other piece, right? Instead of around. As I'm going through this list, I don't know if you're, you know, whether you're in a relationship or you're not, or you're single, or maybe you're in a non-monogamous. What? Maybe I shouldn't do podcast episodes after a certain time. I usually do these, you know, in the morning or afternoon. It's 7 p.m. And that's why I don't know how to spoke. Okay, that was a dad joke. Okay. What was I saying? Oh, emotional intimacy. The importance of it. And as I go through this list, whether you are single or dating or in a relationship or married, or if you are, you know, whatever kind of relationship you're in, think about these things. So think about if they are existing in your current relationship. If you're single, did you have these things before? If you don't have them now and you're in a relationship, what would it look like to start creating some of this, right? And of course, you're only 50% of any relationship, but at least starting the conversation first with yourself and then your partner. If you're single, think about what you want in your next love experience, right? And this is just a quilt I'm throwing out there. I don't know if it's a quilt. Is it a quilt? It's kind of a blueprint, and then you could kind of, you know, or check these boxes and tell me what that, you know, what, ask yourself if that feels right, if it resonates with you, if it feels like, okay, yeah, these are really things that I want, because I didn't have them, right? Or some of these are lacking or were lacking, and because of that, I felt this way. Number two, spiritual intimacy. Spiritual intimacy goes beyond the physical realm and involves connecting on a deeper level of beliefs, values, and purpose. It explores the dance between the spirits of both individuals, acknowledging the presence of something greater than themselves and nurturing a sense of shared spirituality. You know, I think this also, because it reminds me, you know what's really helpful? Can I just give you some really quick fast elbows? Let me tell you what fast elbows are. You're like, what the fuck is he talking about? When you're doing Olympic lifting, a coach will usually just give you one instruction because Olympic lifting is just so precise. It's a precision sport, kind of like golf, right? And so if the coach is like, okay, can you whip your elbows around the bar? Can you put your knees a little bit wider? Can you squat deeper? Can you, whatever, you're gonna end up doing nothing because it's just too much, because Olympic lifting is movements done at lightning speed, right? And so if your coach just says, okay, fast elbows, and I even love the fact that just two words, right? Fast elbows. So you're imagining fast elbows as in the elbow going around the bar as fast as you can. And if you do that one instruction, other things fall into place, right? Then, you know, your legs fall into place, your, you know, whatever. It, not all the time, but most of the time, one instruction kind of aligns and sets you up without even thinking for other things to line up. And so that's what I mean by fast elbows. Here's one thing, a tip when it comes to spirit and relationships. Okay, here it is. It's helped me tremendously. Try to see the spirit of your partner or your friend or any relationship. Try to see the spirit of who that person is. And usually, it's like maybe like in their wonder years, maybe they're 10, maybe they're 12, you know, before they just kind of grew up and became very disconnected with self. Who's the spirit of this person you're with? For me, when I think about that, it makes me so much more empathetic and kind and loving when you know, it's that whole inner child thing, right? Instead of seeing someone and their reactions or what they're doing, it's harder to hold space for a grown person who's acting like a child than holding space for a child, obviously, right? So if you could see the spirit of who they are, that is really helpful. Let me give you an example. The spirit of me, the spirit of John Kim, when I think about it, and of course, depending on who you ask, the answer may be different. But if you ask me, it's this 12-year-old in the 80s with a bowl haircut ripping up and down the block on a Honda Spree scooter. Pulling a wheelie on his Huffy bike, crappy Huffy bike. All the cool kids had mongooses and these awesome bikes, and I had a little Huffy. And it's me wearing parachute pants at 12. It's me breakdancing. It's me. It's when I felt the most alive in the 80s, right? And that's kind of like the spirit of who I was before I started to seek approval, validation. It's when the world was big and I was very curious. And every day was an adventure. And it allowed the spirit of me to shine. The spirit of me is also alone in a bedroom making model airplanes or Legos for hours and just getting obsessed with building and forgetting to eat, getting obsessed with creation, right? It was also me, like at age 6, in my backyard playing with Hot Wheels or whatever. Okay, last visual. Me at 11 creating a ride with my big skateboard, because my dad bought us a giant fat skateboard instead of a cool skinny one. So I decided to do something with it instead of skate on it, because you could actually sit on this thing. You could fit two people on the skateboard. It was a fucking boat with four wheels. I wanted to make a roller coaster. Not obviously a roller coaster, but like a ride that goes through the side of my house, and like paint cans fall and shit. It goes, around the backyard. And I had this whole idea that I was going to, charge $1 for this ride, and I was going to push someone sitting on the skateboard. And I think I was like 10, but the obsession of that and spending a week creating this thing that no one came to. Anyway, try to see the spirit of your partner. Try to see the spirit of who they are truly, All right, number three, mental intimacy. Mental intimacy revolves around intellectual stimulation and the exchange of ideas. It involves engaging in meaningful conversations, challenging each other's perspectives, right? So it doesn't mean that you're just agreeing with everything. It's just creating a space for personal growth and learning from each other. It's having those mind conversations. It's just talking about life and the world and, anything that is interesting and intellectual. We are meant to feed our brains. We are meant to stretch our brains. We're not meant to just tongue kiss each other. I don't know why I said that. We're meant to stimulate our intellects through conversation. All right, passionate intimacy. Passionate intimacy encompasses, I don't know why I can't say that word, the energy and chemistry between two individuals, right? And it involves the energy that they bring into the relationship, the new energy that is created when they are together, and the passion is present in physical, emotional, mental, and spiritual aspects of the relationship. So it's not just sex. I mean, that's one part of it, but it's also sexual expression. It's also foreplay. It's also flirting, right? It's also, like, when I think about passion, like passion and intimacy. Oh, wait, am I jumping ahead of myself? Maybe the physical intimacy is what I'm referring to. Anyway, okay, so let's combine these. Passion and intimacy. And the next one is physical intimacy. And physical intimacy is not just about kissing, obviously, or skin hunger. It's the intention and purpose behind it, right? It is a form of self-expression and a way to discover or even rediscover each other on a deeper level through connection, through physical connection, intimacy. It's also an important aspect of overall intimacy, obviously, but it is not the sole defining factor. So whether we're talking about passionate or physical, let's just bundle these together, kissing, making love, sex, all of that. It's also flirting. It's also foreplay. It's also poems, and I mean, depending on your love language, and bringing someone lunch when they didn't ask, and it's being thoughtful, right? It's being gentle. It's asking for permission. It's being kind. It's anything that makes you feel safe, desired, right? It could be like, here's a good example. My partner, she gets turned on and feels arousal on the back of my motorcycle. It's not because it's not because I'm popping wheelies. It's because she thinks I feel the most, I'm the most grounded on my motorcycle. So, I challenge you to, not just make it look like one thing, right? Okay. Number six, energy intimacy. Energy intimacy involves recognizing and understanding the energetic dynamics between the two individuals. It explores the energy they bring into the relationship and how it interacts and the overall energy they create together, right? This dimension of intimacy delves into the subtle, unspoken connections that exist between what can be seen, exists beyond what can be seen or explained. So I used to hijack rooms. I used to come in with negative energy. I used to drain my partner, whoever I was with. I used to unload, dump. The whole being a miserable fuck thing. And then I realized there's a responsibility that we have when we choose to love someone to not hijack space, but contribute to making that space more safe, you know? So whether that is self-soothing or knowing when to like leave, go somewhere if you're angry or discouraged, and give yourself some time to reset your nervous system and come back into that space, so you're contributing to it, not taking away, you know? And so that's part of what I mean by energy is, if you or your partner has a habit of draining the other person's energy, right, that they should be more responsible and protective. Because when two people come to a space and the energy is positive, and I don't mean like a false positive, genuinely, authentically, and we don't have positive days, moments all the time, but I'm just saying like an effort to create a safe space that is expanding people instead of constricting, right? That kind of space. That's love. That's medicine. That's foundational, you know? And so ask yourself, how do you show up in relationships as far as your energy? Are you hijacking? Are you, you know, sucking the energy out of the room? Are you bringing people down? Are you pessimistic? You know, all of that. Building deep, true intimacy requires continuous self-examination and inner work. It involves being willing to confront our own activation, what people call triggers, conflicts and insecurities, and taking ownership of our part of the relationship. This level of self-awareness and personal growth is essential for creating a strong and secure container, what I call a container for the relationship. So when deep, true intimacy is present, it allows for the growth and development of the relationship over time. It enables both individuals to navigate conflicts, challenges, and changes together rather than avoiding or running away from them. And this level of connection and understanding forms the legs of lasting and sustainable love, providing a more solid foundation for trust, communication, and mutual support. Without deep, true intimacy, and what I just talked about, those six things are, I think, like the building blocks of intimacy. Relationships can become superficial or stagnant, right? Superficial connections may be based solely on, say, physical attraction or shared interest. So, you know, there's a connection, but it's more surface-based, not deeper. But they lack the emotional depth and vulnerability required for long-term fulfillment. On the other hand, stagnant relationships may lack growth, passion, and the ability to adapt to the evolving needs of both individuals. All right, to love on a deeper level, it's important to cultivate certain practices and approaches in your relationship. So here are some suggestions. All right, practicing emotional vulnerability, openly sharing your thoughts, feelings, and fears with your partner. And this doesn't mean to verbally vomit. I had a horrible habit of, because I thought vulnerability meant like every single thing you're feeling, just, you know, you express, you're just a walk, you're fucking saran wrap, right? Now, I'm not saying to be aluminum foil, but you got to be responsible of, you got to think about how your share is going to impact the other person, you know? And so practicing that, you know, this vulnerability allows for a deeper emotional connection and understanding. Number two, develop active listening skills. Truly listen to your partner. And not just, of course, the words, but like their body language, their energy. Make eye contact. What's the message that you're getting? And also knowing your partner and their story. What are they trying to say that they're not able to say, you know? And don't just like guess it, but ask them. Because a lot of people aren't able to say things that they really mean because they're afraid to or they haven't had enough practice. But if you know your partner and her story, try to read in between the lines and also make sure that the message that you're getting is in fact true, right? Okay. Don't just respond, but truly try to understand. Pay attention to words, body language, and emotions. Show empathy and validate their experiences. This level of attentive listening fosters a deeper sense of connection and emotional intimacy. Three, engage in meaningful conversations. Now, not every conversation has to be like deep and life-changing, but go beyond surface-level discussions and engage in conversations that explore your dreams, values, and aspirations, you know, discussing fears, hopes, and the world and your place in the world and what truly matters to you. These meaningful conversations help you understand each other on a deeper level and strengthens your emotional bond. Also, some people find that hot. It's arousing when you have, you know, deep, meaningful conversations. I would say most people, not just some people. Prioritize quality time. And I'm going to add, especially if you have kids or even one kid, quality time can easily go out the window. Just put that shit in the calendar. Just make it happen. Dedicate uninterrupted time to be fully present with your partner. And it doesn't have to be like, you know, a weekend staycation. It could be an hour, right? You could put in the calendar, if you're guys are super busy, an hour here, an hour there, or maybe you're dropping the kids off and spending 20 minutes at a coffee shop with your partner before you guys go your own ways or to work. Engage in activities that you both enjoy and that allow for genuine connection. And this could be going for walks, cooking together, right? That's a good one. Or cuddling, talking. Oh, what was that noise? Sorry, I have something. I think it's apple skin in my mouth. Quality time helps deepen your emotional and physical intimacy. You guys define what quality time looks like for you. Number five, we got seven of these. Practice empathy and compassion. Put yourself, I always try to do this, and I'm not, I know it's not easy, but if my partner is talking about something, complaining about something, that complaint may be about me. I really try to, before I say anything, I really try to put myself in my partner's shoes, you know? And I really try to understand their perspective. And also I consider how they're wired and their story. So it's not me in their shoes. I'm thinking about them in them in their shoes. Does that make sense? So I'm trying to see the situation and the world from their eyes, not from mine. Show compassion and support during challenging times. The empathy. Because just going back to what I said about try to see the situation through their eyes, because if you put yourself in their shoes, it may not be the same. It may not be that big of a deal. You may absorb something very differently, you know? Quick example, two people go to war. One person comes back with heavy PTSD and the other person has no PTSD, right? It's just everyone's different. How they absorb things, what they respond to is different. This empathy creates a sense of safety and understanding, allowing for a deeper emotional connection. Most people, and I'm guilty of this, we are defending. We are trying to control the conversation. We are not being empathetic first. We are, or maybe we're trying to fix it or come up with solutions, right? Generally, that's, they say men do it. I don't think it's a gender thing, but they say men generally do a lot of here's how to fix it instead of just being with the person. All right. Unless the person asks, here, you know, any ideas on how to fix this? That's different, right? Help me fix this. Continuously, number six, learn and grow together. I know that sounds obvious, but I do think it requires work and intention, you know? We don't just grow together because we are together. We don't just grow together because we share a bed. Commit to personal growth and encourage your partner to do the same. And this means anything from like sharing podcasts with your partner or something you read, a book, like, you know, and it's not like you're not manipulating your partner or getting them to change by just throwing content in their face. That's not what you're doing. You are sharing. And you know what sharing means is that it's welcome. They're interested, right? They're not doing it for you. You're not doing it for them. Growing together fosters a deeper connection and understanding of each other's evolving needs and desires. The other thing is that we forget that we evolve and grow in relationships, you know? And so as individuals, we change. And if we're not absorbing that, if we're not noticing that, one day you're going to wake up and you're like, who is this person, you know? And this is why it's important to kind of do this together, evolve and grow and share where you're at and what's happening with your inner journey, as well as, you know, all the stuff in life, like your day and your job and work and whatever, you know, what someone did to you, said to you, and how that made you feel. Sure, all of that, but also you're just in general, you're the journey that you are on internally, you know, in life. Seven, and the last one, express appreciation and gratitude. This is something I need to work on. I think most of us think about how we think about what our partner could be do differently or how they could be better if they only did this, you know? And that can become a pattern, and suddenly we're not seeing any of the good, right? We're not able to create a space for gratitude and appreciation. Or, you know, if you're unhappy with how they are they at least on a trajectory? Are they like growing and evolving? And are they better than before? And before it could be yesterday or last year. And if they are, and if they're trying, then it's really important to acknowledge that, you know? So expressing appreciation, gratitude, regularly expressing your love, appreciation, gratitude for your partner, acknowledging little things. Hey, you know, I noticed that you made the bed this morning, and I really appreciate that, right? Or you did the dishes. Even if it's something that they just do, I mean, especially if it's something that they do and you don't really acknowledge it, then I think, you know, it's important to acknowledge, right? Acknowledge their efforts, strengths, and the positive impact they have on your life. These expressions of love and gratitude reinforce the emotional bond and create a deeper sense of connection. All right. Well, to me, loving harder means taking ownership of my actions and looking inward. It involves understanding self better and working on personal growth. Loving harder is about practicing compassion, gratitude, and empathy toward my partner. It's not about being aggressive or losing myself in someone else. Instead, it's an inward process of self-reflection and self-improvement. When I love harder, I strive to understand before seeking to be understood. It's about creating a deeper connection by truly seeing and accepting my partner for who they are. Loving harder is a continuous effort to nurture the relationship and show up the best version of myself. Also, creating a space where your partner can be the best version of himself. Remember, deepening your love requires ongoing effort and commitment from both partners. By practicing these strategies and tips above, you can cultivate a deeper level of love and intimacy in your relationship. Thank you for listening. If this was helpful for you, then I'm just laughing at it. Sorry, it's just my insecurity. If this was helpful for you in any way, I hope you share it with someone. Thank you for listening. Be well. Love heart.